This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Courtney Stewart of The Hook joins us live in studio to talk about the dash cam video, the release of the wheelchair video, I guess we're calling it, that was released recently by the Albemarle County Police Department. And Courtney, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it. I know you're very busy. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me again, Coy.
And remind us, if we can't, for the folks who are just joining us and might not be familiar with what we're talking about, remind us again of the basic facts of this. I guess it's no longer a case, it was dropped, but remind us again of this incident.
Sure. This involved an accident that happened on November 5th, which was a Monday morning. A man named Jerry Mitchell, who is in a wheelchair, was on his way home from Reed Supermarket on Preston Avenue, coming down 4th Street towards Main. When he got to the intersection of West Main and 4th Street, he waited to cross until the light in front of him turned green. He did not, however, push the pedestrian signal.
Yeah, and for folks who are wondering where exactly that is, it's right in front of is it Main Street Grill, the restaurant that it is now? Is that about where
it's right in front of that.
And it
right
used to be Awful
from the West,
Arthur's the back in
market,
the day.
The West Main, the market at West Main.
Right.
Yeah, so it's right there. Adelphia used to be there. I don't know.
Yeah, Adelphia Cable used to be in there. And
but it's he was right in front of that West Main restaurant.
Yeah, and that restaurant used to be Awful Arthur's years ago. They had great crab cakes, by the way. But anyway, so he's wanting to cross the street there.
He's wanting to cross the street, so he waits. He's watching the traffic signal, thinking that when the light in front of him turns green, that he will. That's when he's supposed to cross. So when it turns green, he heads into the crosswalk. He makes it almost about three quarters of the way across, and an Albemarle County police officer who was stopped at the light on 4th is turning left onto West Main Street, turns left with the green light, and strikes the back of Jerry Mitchell's chair as he's crossing, throws him into the street, and then a driver who had been idling at the light on West Main leaps out. The officer comes also to see what's going on. They lift him back into his chair and push him to the side. And then there were a series of things that happened after that.
Yeah. The traffic light on West Main Street was obviously red, or the police officer wouldn't have been turning.
The traffic light on West Main, right, heading west and heading east,
right,
either way, was red.
So Jerry in the wheelchair is looking for the cars who are going back and forth on West Main Street to stop. So he was waiting for them to get a red light so that they would stop, and then he would be able to cross.
Right. And the, as I've explored in a couple of articles, the laws regarding crossing are very confusing. I mean, there are different rules that regulate every intersection, different pedestrian signals. The way they work is different all over town. So you at many intersections, you have the right, pedestrians should cross when the traffic signal is green, unless there is also a pedestrian signal that they are supposed to be following.
Yeah. So if there's a pedestrian crossing signal, you're supposed to use that. But if there's not, you're supposed to...
Yeah, but it seems to me like a very gray area where it's still not clear that you wouldn't have the right of way if you're crossing with a green light and if a car strikes you in the crosswalk when you were crossing with a green light.
Yeah.
And because the case was dropped, we'll never get to hear how a judge would have ruled on that.
So after he was hit, he went to the hospital over at UVA.
Yes.
And then what happened?
He was treated and released that day, November 5th. The following day, he's a man who has some serious long-term health problems.
Well, while he was in the emergency room, though.
Oh, he was ticketed in the emergency room.
By a city police officer came into the emergency room when Jerry Mitchell, the man in the wheelchair who was struck, was in the emergency room and gave him a ticket for basically jaywalking.
Right, and that is really the crux of the situation. He was ticketed by Charlottesville police who'd investigated the accident. They had reviewed a videotape taken from the front of the Albemarle County officer's cruiser, and they came back and said, you crossed when the pedestrian signal was showing a don't walk, or it was actually a red hand, and so therefore you were at fault, and they ticketed him with failure to obey a pedestrian signal and did not ticket the driver, the Albemarle County police.
And
officer.
Still haven't.
Right. So
right. So then he goes to, and this has happened in November. So then fast forward then to just a couple of weeks ago, January 3rd was the date of the trial, right? And Dave Chapman, city commonwealth's attorney, decided not to press charges regarding the ticket that Jerry Mitchell got,
right,
for supposedly jaywalking.
Yeah, and they had been hinting at that for a couple of weeks prior to the actual official court date. They dropped the charges, saying that because the way the code is written, the state code refers only to pedestrian signals that actually use the words walk or don't walk, and that particular pedestrian signal uses symbols. So they said they can't apply that law. You have to be you have to really stick to the actual letter of the law. And so therefore, it was a technicality. They never admitted that he shouldn't have been charged. They just said the way the law is written doesn't allow us to follow through with this, and therefore we're going to drop the charges.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook, the reporter who broke this story and has been following it very closely the last few weeks. So what's the situation with Jerry Mitchell now, the man who was in the wheelchair that was struck?
He is in the hospital, as we're here on the radio. He has been in the hospital since New Year's Day. He's got some swelling in his joints. I think it's important to note he is a man, like I said before, who has chronic long-term health issues. He's very public about the fact that he has HIV and AIDS. And so this is not new for him to be struggling with health issues. There's some question about whether the accident exacerbated some of the problems that he has. But he is in the hospital. He has been there for, 8 days now, and he has some severe pain, swelling in his joints. He's really not doing well.
Yeah, we're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook, and the phone lines, of course, are open at 977-1070. We want to talk about what we learn from this video. A lot of folks, of course, have seen it. And before we go to Jello's on the phone, but before we do, you were telling me before we went on the air that this video has been posted online at a bunch of different local sites. WINA has it. You have it at your paper, the 29, the local 19, the local news folks have been showing it on the television. But it's also out on some video like YouTube sites. Mm-hmm. And it's getting people from all over the world are watching this thing.
Yeah, I think there's one site, I think it's called break.com. I think it's up to close to 500,000 views. Our video has gotten about 6,000 views, maybe. I think maybe a little less, 5,500, maybe something like that. But it's really just in the day that it's been posted, it's already gotten a lot of traffic.
My gosh. Let's go to the phones. Jello is on line one. Jello, you're on the air with Courtney Stewart. You go right ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my call. As I drive through the University area and the Water Street area, I see signs in the middle of these intersections that say stop for pedestrians, Virginia state law. Now, is it a law that you stop for pedestrians, or do you have a right to just run over people?
That's a great question, and let me phrase it differently. Does a pedestrian have the right-of-way in a crosswalk, no matter what all the lights are around you or the signs are saying? I always thought that that was the case, that, hey, I'm in a crosswalk, I have the right-of-way.
My understanding, and of course I'm not a lawyer and I didn't write the law, but my understanding is that vehicles are required to stop for pedestrians who are in the crosswalk. In the crosswalks that have those signs that remind you, many of them, there aren't actually traffic signals there. Pedestrians also do have some responsibility to not dart out in front of cars that couldn't stop in time, to not sort of walk aggressively or jaywalk and dart, just come out between parked cars. But in a crosswalk, vehicles are supposed to yield the right-of-way to pedestrians. And particularly vehicles that are turning there's an added wording in the code stressing that at all times they should yield.
If you're driving a car and you happen to be turning onto another street that has a crosswalk nearby, that you have to pay extra special attention.
You
That's in
be,
the code.
You need to be alert. Pedestrians need to be alert also, but drivers really need to be watching for people that are walking, and certainly it would be against the law to not stop if you saw somebody in the crosswalk just because you felt that they shouldn't have been there.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Have you seen the video, and what do you think about it? I'd like to get your thoughts on it. Give us a call, 977-1070. I was talking with Allison today about this, my wife, and she said, I thought she put it so well. She said, look, obviously mistakes were made. Everybody made mistakes. The guy probably shouldn't have crossed then. I would have crossed then, to be honest with you, though, if I saw that the car stopped. There's a red light. Oh, I guess I can go now. But mistakes were made. The police officer clearly made a horrible mistake for whatever reason. And we may never know why he wasn't looking where he was going and hit this man. Clearly a mistake. Nothing was intentional here. But what is so disturbing at the end of the day is the fact that the guy in the wheelchair was ticketed, whether they pressed charges or not, that the police officers then went back and gave him a ticket. And the fact that the police officer who was operating the vehicle has never been charged with anything. And you and I both know that if we were driving that car and we hit somebody in a wheelchair in a crosswalk, we would have gotten reckless driving at the least. We would have gotten something. And so there does seem to be on the surface here, and this is what I think has so many people upset in our community, is that there seems to be a double standard and seems to have been a circling of the wagons among the police officers to sort of look out for their buddy. And at least that's it, how it appears to just me, a guy standing on the corner.
Yeah, I think that is the feeling that a lot of people have, and that has been what's driven a lot of the outrage about this. And it's been probably exacerbated, as Chief Longo in the city has pointed out a couple of times, by the fact that police policy prevents them from commenting. So all this has gone on with very little input from the police about what they're doing, why they're doing it, what their decisions are. And that's begun to change maybe a little bit this week with the release of the video. But there's still a sense that there's no, you know, people don't feel that there's any accountability.
Yeah.
I think that's...
And Patty's on the phone. Patty will be right with you. But as far as the release of the video is concerned, I read somebody was posting a line saying that there had been FOIA requests for the video and that they had to release it. It was basically somebody was claiming. I don't know if that's accurate or not, or what you know about that.
I started filing requests for the video, as soon as I found out about it, which was, I think, the day after the accident. It was at least that week that I started asking if such a thing existed and if I could have it. And I was denied because materials are exempt from FOIA requests while there's an investigation going on.
So there certainly was. Yeah.
And so it can be either an internal or an external investigation in both. I mean, there were probably two internal investigations and then the criminal charges against Jerry Mitchell. So that was the basis for the denial of the video. And then once the charges were dropped, I think they still could have kept it, claiming that this internal investigation is still going on, but they chose to release it.
Wisely.
If
I was their PR guy, I would have said, yeah, absolutely, you get this out there. And you do what they did, which was basically, we're releasing it, and we believe that folks should make their own decision and their own judgment and see for themselves what happened.
Right.
And as we know, people from all over the world are watching this thing. Phone lines are open at 977-1070. Patty, you're on with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. Go right ahead.
Well, I have two comments. One is that I run with a group 3 days a week in Charlottesville, and I have always been struck by the kindness and courtesy of the drivers on the road, that even if we're not in a crosswalk, they will stop and motion us to cross. And so it's a shame to me that the officer didn't have that same level of alertness and courtesy that so many of the residents in the city show to people just in general. But my other comment is that the portion of the video that's being shown shows that there's a red hand or whatever, but when that poor fellow in the wheelchair started to cross the road, that could very well have been green.
It's an excellent point. Those things sometimes change pretty quickly. And unlike the one up at the corner, which has a countdown, you have this many seconds to cross before it's going to change. I don't think this has that.
No, it has no countdown. You can't see the light before, so I can't say whether it was green or not. My understanding is that he was watching the traffic signal for his cue to cross, as he does at many other intersections where there is no pedestrian signal. The button that you have to push for that signal is not convenient. It is, you can reach it if you're in a wheelchair, but you have to go out of your way and then back up to get back to where you need to enter the crosswalk. So I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be able to say for sure what happened.
Patty, are you still with us? Patty?
I'm sorry?
Patty, what are your thoughts on how the police have handled this? Allison was telling me this afternoon that she thought that, as she pointed out, if it was you or I that hit that man in the wheelchair, we would have gotten some kind of a ticket.
I would like to hope that we wouldn't have. Sometimes I think just because something is right or wrong doesn't mean that a person necessarily has to get a ticket and whatever, but I don't know. I just think we're too quick sometimes to try to prosecute things legally when it could be handled other ways.
Patty, thank you so much for the call. We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook, the reporter who broke the story about Jerry Mitchell, the man in the wheelchair who was hit while he was in a crosswalk by an Albemarle County police cruiser on, what was it? You said it was November 5th? It was early November.
It was the morning of November 5th, a Monday.
November 5th charges, and then the man in the wheelchair when he was in the emergency room was ticketed mm-hmm. by a city police officer because he crossed against a red hand, a don't walk sign. Literally insult to injury, I would say. But And then on January 3rd, they dropped the charges against Jerry Mitchell, the man in the wheelchair. But to this date, no charges have ever been filed against the Albemarle County police officer who was driving the car that hit the man.
That's right.
Courtney, the dash cam video was recently released. What do we learn from that? What do we see? What do we hear?
Well, I don't think in terms of what we see, it's upsetting to see it, but it's not necessarily surprising since we know that it is as it was described basically by Mr. Mitchell, that we see the police cruiser idling at the red light that lasts for a period of about 45 seconds or so. The light turns green. He starts to make the turn. You see nothing. And then suddenly in the screen of the video, which is sort of a narrow field of vision just in front of the car, all of a sudden there is Jerry Mitchell and the car rams him and his wheelchair sort of bumps forward quickly. And then he sprawls, the chair, sort of teeters and he sprawls into the street. We then see a witness who was at the light on West Main Street. We see him come running into the video frame. And then we see Officer Gregory C. Davis from Albemarle County getting out of his vehicle and going up. And then we see them very quickly maybe say something. It's hard to see. There's no audio going on outside the vehicle.
The audio is only inside.
There is some audio inside. We see the two of them then lift Jerry Mitchell back into his chair quickly, which has come under some, there's been some criticism of that because it is not necessarily in keeping with first responder, sort of first aid treatment of somebody who's just been struck by a vehicle.
Yeah. And then, and it was the witness who was helped Jerry Mitchell back into the wheelchair who ran to him. He was actually the first person to him when he was laying on the street. That was the witness,
not the
police officer.
That's right.
And you can see that in the video. And again, this video is at WINA.com, or you can see it online at readthehook.com. It was the witness who said when the police officer got out of the car and ran up, that the police officer, one of the first things that he said when he got there was, "I'm so sorry, I didn't see you. I was looking down."
Right. That's what both the witness and Jerry Mitchell report that he said. That's something that only the two of them have said. It certainly has not been confirmed by the police, and in fact, quite the opposite, that they have insisted that he was not distracted in any way, that this was unavoidable, that Jerry Mitchell appeared so suddenly in front of his car that there was just no way that he could have stopped or seen him.
I don't understand how you dart out in front of a car when you're in a wheelchair. I don't understand the claim that this is unavoidable. I mean, literally, it's avoidable, literally. But, you know, I get their point that, oh, he just all of a sudden appeared.
He appeared in the camera, but the camera has no peripheral vision. So you don't see. I mean, if you're a human being driving a car, you see.
You have a
270
window,
degree
yeah.
view. Plus, you have a mobile turning head. So you look from side to side and you yeah. can see a lot more than a video camera that's, you know, stuck on the middle of your hood or in the middle of your dashboard, seeing only what looks to be maybe a 5 foot sort of view right in front of the car.
Yeah, clearly, it was a terrible mistake on the part of the officer, obviously. And, you know, it's just my opinion, and I'm speaking for no one but myself. But I think if he had seen him, he would have stopped.
Of course he would have
stopped. He would have yielded to him. He would have yielded to the man in the wheelchair crossing the street. He would have let him go past. He wouldn't have jumped out and given him a ticket for crossing against a red hand. That wouldn't have happened. He would have just slowed down like all of us would when you see somebody in a wheelchair in a crosswalk. No matter what the lights say, you just... You yield to them. You slow down. You wait for them to go past. Not a big deal. He clearly, I mean, come on. He just wasn't looking.
And I think nobody has alleged malice on his part. I mean,
of course not.
Nobody,
of course not
Jerry Mitchell, not the witness. Nobody has ever said that he did this in any way deliberately.
And that would be ridiculous to say that, I think, in my opinion.
Right. But it's just, not the same as saying it was unavoidable.
Yeah. And I don't think the police officers are serving themselves well now by trying to make this case to the public that, oh, this was a totally inevitable accident. It was unavoidable. He just appeared so quickly in a wheelchair that he just had to hit him almost like he was a deer leaping out of the forest in front of your car. It's just, come on, you know, and it's just, it just doesn't make common sense. It makes no sense. Courtney, what is it that we learned? There's also music, some kind of music or audio that's playing.
Yeah.
What is this? Because a lot of people online are on the blogs and stuff are talking about this.
Yeah. The whole question of distraction got another little pump from the audio track from this video, which kicks in as soon as Jerry Mitchell is struck. All of a sudden, this music becomes audible, and it is kind of a racy song played by the Black Eyed Peas.
To say the least, racy. Yeah.
And it's pretty racy.
Yeah, and here's a little bit of it in case you're wondering.
What you gonna do with all that junk inside your trunk?
I'ma get you drunk, get you love drunk off my hump.
So this is what the police officer was listening to in his car when he hit Jerry Mitchell.
Yes. He was listening to music inside the car, which has been confirmed is not against police policy to have a radio on or to be listening to music while they're driving. I also found out this week he was on duty. So that had been a question. I just want to.
Oh, yeah. So the police officer who was operating the vehicle.
Yeah, he was an on-duty officer. So he's listening to this music, but even though he was on duty, listening to music does not violate police policy, according to the Albemarle County spokesperson, or police spokesperson.
Yeah.
But the question of whether he might have been looking down to adjust the radio or turn up the volume or do something has been asked by a number of people online And also why the music suddenly becomes audible only when he's exiting the car.
Yeah. Now, this is my question, because when you're watching the video, and again, you can see this online, folks, at WINA.com. The police, it turns the corner. The vehicle turns the corner. It hits the man in the wheelchair. He goes flying across the street. Then there's a pause. And then all of a sudden you hear this music start blaring. This crazy music I would never listen to, but that's each to his own taste. But you hear this music start blaring, and then you see the police officer enter the scene. He had just gotten out of his car. So a lot of folks are wondering, was he wearing headphones? Because you don't hear the microphones in the car. So you hear this music in the car, but you don't hear it until right before he gets out of the car. So explain this to us.
I wonder. I mean, it took us a while to figure out where this music was even coming from. We had a hard time believing it was actually inside the car. But my understanding is that, according to Albemarle Police, he was not wearing headphones. That what happens with this video audio recording that happens on the front of a cruiser, that it the audio is activated when the emergency lights are turned on the top of the car. So, and that in fact, the video, it's not that they're recording everything that happens as they drive all over town. When the lights are activated, what happens is the audio and taping happens. It's a streaming video up to that point that's not actually being recorded. But as soon as they turn their lights on, audio inside the car kicks on. When the officer gets out of the car, they have some kind of remote that they can push that will then start recording
Kind of Bluetooth microphone on his person.
And so in this case, he did not activate that as he left the car. So all we got was the interior recording of the music that he'd been listening to. And so
because some folks have wondered this, too, if there's some type of recording of him saying, can we substantiate the witnesses saying that he told them, oh, I wasn't looking, I'm sorry, I hit you, I was looking down. There is no recording of that.
There's, I mean, nothing that I've seen or heard on the video they released, which I believe is the only recording associated with that accident.
Yeah. So we're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. So just to repeat that, the audio that you hear of this music that's playing in the police car We don't think it was on headphones. He was just cranking out this music, which is very loud inside the car. He was listening to this music in the car, and the reason you don't hear it until a certain moment when he gets out is because he has turned on his emergency lights, which activates the microphone.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know...
Here's one thing I don't understand. You can hear stuff before that. You can hear stuff before you hear the music. The microphone is on.
I don't know. No, you know, if you're going by the video, are you going by the CD that you guys got?
I'm going by whatever's online.
Okay, because I think there's some noise that happened. We, in order to get that up last night, we had to record that. So there's some noise that may have been introduced. I think it's, if you listen to the original, I think it's absolute silence
really?
Before.
Well, let's listen to it. Here is the video, and it's the audio. So you're obviously not going to see anything. It's radio. But here is the audio of the video that's playing now online. So the police officer's turning the corner. You hear that right there? Now the music starts. Hold on just 1 minute. I want to hear that again. Hear that right there? Bam. He just hit the... Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And there's... I don't know... I would want to hear the CD that they gave us to make sure that there isn't any sort of sound.
But the reason this is all relevant, because some folks have wondered, well, who cares if he was listening to music or anything? But the reason it's relevant is was he distracted at all?
Now, the idea of distraction is the big thing with that music. And he wouldn't, everybody listens to music when they drive down the road. I don't think you can say that because he's listening to the Black
Eyed Peas. Or talk radio.
Exactly, as you should be doing. But just because he's listening to music doesn't make him distracted. If he's fiddling with a CD player or an iPod or some other device that requires his attention, yeah, that's distracting. But the music itself, I don't think is evidence that somebody couldn't operate a vehicle because they're listening to a song.
Of course. My guest is Courtney Stewart of The Hook, who broke this news story a few weeks ago and has been following it in The Hook newspaper. Where do things sit right now? I mean, where are we right now? They released the video and said everybody can look for themselves and decide for themselves what happened.
I think along with the release of the video, Lieutenant Texera from the Albemarle County Police issued what is really the only official apology from either the city or the county that Jerry Mitchell has received. And it wasn't given directly to him. It was given through the media, just saying that we are very sorry that this happened.
So he was never directly contacted by the county police, according to
He was interviewed, I think, by county police. I don't know.
I mean, to apologize.
No, I don't think he's received any sort of personal calls. He did speak with Chief Longo, the city's chief, a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, when he ran into him at City Hall and they had some sort of conversation.
Pun intended.
They had some sort of conversation, and then their Chief Longo said he will be following up with him now that the case is dropped.
Yeah.
But to my knowledge, that has not happened yet. And that's been what he's really wanted, and he hasn't gotten it. Just people to acknowledge that something bad happened to him, and that this whole thing shouldn't have gone on the way it did.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook, and if you want to comment, the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Give us a call. Let us know what you think if you've had a chance to see this video. I just want to say for the record, and I have felt this way since I was a kid, that I truly believe in my heart that police officers that serve us every day, and in many cases, some of these men and women risk their lives every single day, are some of the most underappreciated and underpaid, overworked people in our society. And we certainly owe them a great deal. And I just don't want that. We're spending so much time here talking about police officers. I don't want this opportunity to go by without saying that. Let's go to the phones. Michelle is online too. Michelle, thanks so much for the call. You're on with Courtney Stewart. Go right ahead.
Hi. Admittedly, I just started listening to this program, but I did watch the video the other day, and as soon as I saw it, I was just incredibly shocked. It's very clear that he didn't look to the left when he made that turn. any driver who's been driving for any length of time knows that when you're making a left-hand turn or even a right-hand turn, you pay attention to what's around you. My son failed his driver's test downtown because there was a pedestrian that was standing by the side of the road, and he didn't stop. So I just think this is a big excuse, and I think the cop was wrong, and I think that he's getting off because he's a cop, and I think that's a shame.
Michelle, thank you so much for the call. And
thanks.
Courtney Stewart, this is certainly something that I've heard and you've heard, and this seems to be a very commonly held sentiment that if it was any one of us who was driving that car, we would have gotten reckless driving. We would have been ticketed.
Yeah, I think that is the sentiment. I think it's a case where if both people had been ticketed, if neither had been ticketed, or if only the driver had been ticketed, there probably wouldn't have been as much outrage. It was the ticketing only
of the victim.
Ticketing the victim and not ticketing the driver that created sort of this sense of outrage. That's my sense anyway.
Yeah,
if it had gone even one of those three other ways,
it probably wouldn't have been.
Yeah, it might not have gotten as
absolutely. I totally agree with you. Let's go to Jane. Jane's on one. Jane, you're on with Courtney Stewart. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm a walker, a pretty good pace, and I have been testing some of the lights, and I've noticed it for many years that when you push the button, whether it's the hand or the walk or don't walk, before you get over to the other side, it's already turned red. Don't walk. Or the hand is up. And it doesn't seem to me it ever gives you enough time. And if you're on a wheelchair, you've got to come off the sidewalk, go across the pavement, and then climb back on the other side. There is not enough time to do that. I think that those lights should be given more time for the pedestrians to walk.
Jane, it's a great point, and thank you so much for the call. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. I got a phone line open, and you're hearing lots of folks are talking about the lights and what this means for the larger issue around town, just of pedestrian
safety.
Yeah,
the larger issue. I mean, this one incident is upsetting just on the facts of it, but it has also, I think, created a good conversation about pedestrian safety and the issues of handicapped people trying to get from place to place, not necessarily having access to vehicle transportation, and then facing these crosswalks and broken sidewalks and all kinds of issues that make it impossible. And this just happens to be sort of a lightning rod that's brought some attention onto the issue as a whole.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook about the dash cam video that was recently released just this week regarding the Albemarle County police officer that struck Jerry Mitchell, the man in the wheelchair, in a crosswalk on West Main Street. This took place the morning of November 5th, just this in 2007. Phone lines are open at 977-1070. I still got a couple of minutes left if you would like to chime in. So at this point, just to remind folks, Jerry Mitchell is his health has gone from really, really bad to worse. But you can't say that getting hit by this caused the other.
Well, yeah. I mean, there were a couple of things that probably are definitely, you know, that are linked to the accident. One is likely he was hospitalized the day after the accident in renal failure. He already had kidney problems, but a sudden blow to his back didn't help his already failing kidney. So he was hospitalized. He's now back in the hospital. He has a broken shoulder and a torn rotator cuff that he thinks happened and his doctors have suggested might have happened when he was lifted or when he fell to the street, but at some point during that accident. And then now he just has a lot of swelling in all of his joints and he's just really, he's in terrible pain.
Is there, you talk with him regularly, and I'm just curious, and I'm not saying I feel one way or the other about this, but is there talk of a civil suit? Has he said, I'm going to get a lawyer and I'm going to sue you? Has there been any talk like that?
I think, at this point, my sense is that he's so sick and he's so focused on trying to feel better that he can't make a decision about that one way or the other. I think people have certainly mentioned it to him. He's aware of, you know, that idea floating around. I think it's premature to say whether he's made up his mind about doing anything other than trying to get better. I do want to say, for his sake, he has a show up at the Mud House that he was unable to attend the opening for. His artwork opened on January this past the first Friday.
At the Mud House on the downtown mall?
At the Mud House in the downtown mall, and he couldn't attend his own opening.
Michelle's on the phone. Michelle, you're on with Courtney Stewart. Go right ahead.
Hi, I just had one more quick statement
sure,
with regard
absolutely.
To an apology. I think that it's a sad way that our nation has gone, that we're so afraid to apologize to anyone because we're afraid we're going to get sued. The reason people are getting sued is because they won't apologize. It's really, I think, reconsider what our foundation of this country is based on and start treating each other like humans.
It's an excellent point and well taken. And I'm sorry it was broken up a little bit, but I got it. And I got it too.
That was a good point.
Yeah, absolutely. Courtney Stewart, thank you again for joining us this afternoon. And thank you for all the work that you're doing on this case and keeping us informed about what's going on, about this really important incident that happened in our community that everyone should know about. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.